This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What's it like in Germany knowing Russia could turn off the natural gas? I'm David Brancaccio. First, we've been following President Biden's move to tamp down gasoline prices by releasing a flood of crude oil from America's strategic reserve, a million barrels a day for 6 months, 180 million barrels in all. Today, other countries are discussing whether to join in by releasing their own reserves. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here live with that.
Yeah, David, it's an emergency meeting of member countries of the International Energy Agency. And we've heard from some of them already. India, which has pointedly not condemned Russia's war in Ukraine, may support more oil reserve releases. New Zealand may release more, South Korea, Japan as well. The U.S. needs to officially ask them during the meeting today, and we'll see how they'll respond.
I mean, you can see the urgency.
Definitely. We just entered April, and the International Energy Agency has forecast that this month, nearly 3 million barrels of Russian crude oil and other fossil fuel products will be off the global market. Now, Russia puts out about 10 million barrels a day, so it's not all of Russia's oil exports, but a significant chunk. And it's happening because of the sanctions that have been imposed, and also because some buyers are staying away from Russian oil out of caution. Now, reduced supply is sending oil prices up. They've risen 30% this year, so oil-consuming nations are feeling the pressure to do something.
And OPEC Plus, the oil producers cartel, met yesterday.
Yeah, and they did what they were expected to do, and that's not very much. OPEC Plus includes Russia, as well as countries like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and those last two have been getting lobbied by Western countries trying to get them to up their production to make up for some of Russia's oil that's being lost. But they've refused to budge, and yesterday OPEC Plus said they're going to stick to their gradual production increase plan. They'll increase 432,000 barrels a day in supply for May. That's nowhere near what oil consuming nations want. So now the U.S. and allies are looking at their strategic reserves to try to blunt oil price spikes.
All right, Nova Safa, thank you. Crude oil traded here in New York is steady, $100, down 24% from its peak on March the 8th. The first quarter of 2022 has ended, and for stocks, it was the biggest downer in an accounting quarter since early pandemic. The S&P lost nearly 5%. The NASDAQ fell more than 9%. Today, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.5% ahead of the big March hiring and unemployment reports this morning. Unemployment could be a very low 3.7%. So far, we see the Russian natural gas is still on to Europe, despite Western Europe rejecting Russian President Putin's demand they start paying for gas in rubles starting today, his strategy to prop up the Russian currency. In Germany, nearly 40% of gas used for factories, cooking, heating comes from Russia. Berlin is urging Germans to conserve, and there could be rationing at some point. Joining us from Berlin is journalist Stefan Richter. He's the publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. Hey, Stefan.
Hi, David.
What has been communicated to you officially as a resident regarding your energy consumption?
Very little from the German chancellor, a bit from the German economics minister, the leading green politician, Robert Habeck, who has put us all on notice that there will be some emergency management coming down soon on the use of natural gas in Germany.
Longer term, what's Germany going to do? I mean, turn more to renewables, reactivate coal? You're already turning off your nuclear power plants.
Yes, and that's one of those short-sighted things. But longer term, the good news is, as terrible as the events in Ukraine are, nobody can really doubt the urgent need to get to renewable energy. The government has plans to get down to a level of 30% Russian gas by the end of the year, largely because of LNG imports, which the same government and same political parties now forming the government had fought for decades.
Is there real nervousness? I mean, Russian President Putin said countries have to start paying in Russian currency for the natural gas they get, or else being, I guess he'll stop delivering the natural gas. I mean, that could cause real hardship.
It could cause hardship. And, you know, interestingly, the German polls are that over 50% are in favor of cutting off ourselves. Now, it seems like Mr. Putin is taking that choice away by presenting us with an option where we have to forego Russian energy deliveries, which is basically a choice that we have brought upon ourselves. Nobody forced us to close down nuclear power plants. Nobody forced us to try and exit out of coal immediately. So we're paying dearly for it because we're facing a 10-year gap before we have the famous green hydrogen. And in the meantime, we're not going to have too many good choices.
Are you setting the temperature lower? What are you going to do?
I'm trying to set it as low as possible. We're making sure that it's totally off at night, you know, but that's still going to be chicken feed by comparison to the consequences for German industry, because we have all sorts of plants that have depended on cheap Russian energy. And the question for Germany's economic future is, can we really maintain those economic structures here?
Stefan, you're sleeping with the heat off?
We turn it off and we use the residual heat of the day and then start it up in the morning again.
All right, Stefan Richter, publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. He's also director of the Global Ideas Center in Berlin. Stefan, thanks.
Very good talking with you, David.
So I'm up before my coffee this morning checking headlines, and I see that the DoorDash of Europe, it's called Deliveroo, has banned pineapple on pizza, regardless of which pizza company. Now, as a card-carrying Italian-American with a Neapolitan grandfather, my first thought is, about darn time. I mean, you know, pineapple on pizza, come on. My second thought was, oh yeah, it's April Fool's Day. No, Deliveroo is not really delivering on the wonderful idea of banning pineapple on pizza. Here's our new theme music, by the way. What do you think? Jazzy, eh? April Fool. It's actually an old dub from an ancient version of our music from the dawn of time, 1989. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.